Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2457 with a release date of Friday, November 29th, 2024 to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. An air leak on the ISS mystifies space agencies. New rules are being considered for the 5.9 gigahertz band, and Santa Claus believes in amateur radio. Do you believe in him? All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2457 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent weekly amateur radio news and bulletin service. Now reporting from Picayune, Mississippi, here is Don Wilbanks, AE5DW.
Our top story takes us into outer space, where there's a mystery aboard the ISS. Part of the spacecraft continues to be leaking air. John Williams, VK4JJW, tells us how the U.S. and Russian space agencies are dealing with it.
An air leak in the Russian section of the International Space Station has apparently worsened since it was first discovered 5 years ago, according to SpaceNews.com. The leak is in the vestibule that connects the Russian module with a docking port. Bob Cabana, who chairs the ISS Advisory Committee, said that even as the Russian team looks for and hopes to remedy the cause, Roscosmos believes that there is no immediate danger to the crew or the spacecraft. NASA, on the other hand, maintains that the leak compromises the safety of the Russian service module, saying that a little more than 2 pounds of air has been escaping daily. AMSAT News Service reports that, according to NASA's Office of the Inspector General, Roscosmos believes it can take sufficient safety precautions on behalf of the service module if the risk from the leak grows too great. Both space agencies agree that the hatch to the service module should be shut permanently at that point. AMSAT News Service said that this would mean one fewer docking port available to receive cargo from spacecraft arriving to make a delivery to the ISS. This is John Williams, VK4JJW.
The FCC has intensified its focus on the 5.9 gigahertz band, where new rules are being finalized for the use of cellular delivery of communications to and from cars and trucks on the road. Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, brings us the details.
Intelligent Transportation Systems, or ITS, scored a big gain in late November as the FCC voted on a proposal enabling the use of cellular-to-vehicle everything, or CV2X, on the 5.9 gigahertz band. This would establish new rules for the use of ITS within 30 megahertz of that spectrum. The system is already in use by many automakers, sending and receiving messages over existing 5G cellular networks with alerts about traffic issues, weather conditions, road hazards, or speeding cars. The FCC measure also sets out the technical parameters for the use of CV2X, including power and emission limits. The system permits vehicles to communicate with roadside infrastructure and the cell phones of pedestrians, cyclists, and road workers, enabling safety communications even when there are no line-of-sight warnings. The FCC said in a press release that the new spectrum rules would, quote, accelerate the automotive industry and state and federal government plans for transitioning from data technology to more advanced CV2X automobile safety technology, end quote. This is Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
Portable operators who have lofty goals, in this case, goals to scale the heights of regional soda summits, are getting ready for Gallfest 2024, which is set to take place in late December in the UK. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, has those details.
Organisers will be watching the weather forecast in the days between Christmas and the New Year to see what day is most suitable for the return of Gallfest, a soda tradition first held in 2003. Over the years, the event's purpose has become one half soda and one half social. Since the beginning, activators have set up operations on summits in the Shropshire area or on summits near the border between England and Wales, staying close enough to one another for a convenient meet-up afterwards in Church Stretton for coffee and cake. Organisers Tom, M1EYP, and Jimmy, M0HGY, are hoping for a turnout that attracts even SOTA first-timers, and they expect lots of opportunities for summit-to-summit contacts. If you wish to participate, Tom advises following the discussion thread on the SOTA Reflector to coordinate with other activators as to which summits everyone is going to be on. By the way, Tom explains that the name for the event actually originates from the ancient Norman name for Wales, Pays de Galles, but someone misspelt it when the first SOTA event was launched. Gaul, spelt G-A-U-L, was actually the name for a region of Western Europe. Tom said no one ever bothered to correct the mistake, and so the name Gaulfest simply became permanent. He and Jimmy hope the event itself becomes permanent, too. This is Jeremy Bucci for NJH.
One of Europe's few remaining shortwave broadcasters is not going QRT quietly. Austria's ORS shortwave radio station in Musbrunn is poised to go off the air on the 31st of December, as Newsline reported in October. But before it does, it will have its final 100 kW marathon on 6070 kHz on the 26th of December. The marathon on the AM station will begin with radio DARC programming at 0900 UTC and continue through other programs until Radio Power Mobile concludes at 1459 UTC. Meanwhile, Radio DARC has announced that starting Sunday, January 5th, its broadcasts will continue to be carried on shortwave thanks to an agreement signed with the station in the BBC broadcast complex in Wooferton, England. Listeners across Europe and the Middle East will be able to hear the programming on 9670 kHz. The high-gain antenna system at the complex is expected to give the 125 kW transmission an effective radiated power of nearly 4 megawatts. Meanwhile, the radio amateur-owned and run Channel 292 10 kW transmitter near Ingolstadt in Germany will continue to use the 6070 kHz frequency for more local reception of Radio DARC's program. The ORS station was formerly the Radio Austria International broadcast station and is well known for having had Europe's largest directional antenna system for shortwave broadcasts. A group of hams from eastern Pennsylvania boarded a special train to join Santa in collecting toys for the needy during a nearly 5-mile ride through Amish and Mennonite farm country. At the same time, they operated the special event station to promote their charitable mission. Amateur Radio Newsline's Mark Abramovich, NT3V, has the story.
Members of the Albertus Amateur Radio Club and East Penn Amateur Radio Club joined forces to organize the Operation Toy Train event in northeastern Berks County, PA, in cooperation with the U.S. Marine Corps' Toys for Tots program on Sunday, November 24th, the last Sunday of November. The team, led by Nicholas Hofke, KC3SGN, and Walt Skavinsky, KB3SBC, activated W3A aboard a Conrail caboose pulled by a train operating along the Allentown and Auburn Railroad. The duo set up a homemade inverted L antenna stretched over the roof of a flat rail car to make HF contacts on 20 and 40 meters. They also employed a 2-meter radio and antenna to make VHF contacts with local hams along the route. During the 5-hour period, the group collected more than 160 toys at 3 stops along the rail line and made more than 75 contacts using the W3A call, including QSOs with stations across the continental U.S., Puerto Rico, and even Great Britain. Skavinsky said one guest operator, whose handle is Sierra Alpha November Tango Alpha, was particularly thrilled to learn that all of those who made contacts with W3A were on his nice list. Skavinsky says Santa was happy with the donations of so many toys brought by those who came out to greet the train and check out the activities of his ham friends. Santa thanked them all and promised he would make sure the toys find homes this Christmas. I'm Mark Abramovich, NT3V, in Kutztown, Pennsylvania.
Ireland's National Ham Radio Society recently lost a friend and a longtime advocate. We hear about him from Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Working behind the scenes for the Irish Radio Transmitter Society, Michael McNamara, EI2CL, left his imprint. Having joined the society in 1965, first as a shortwave listener, he later took up the responsibility for collecting and sorting the incoming QSL cards and other items of correspondence. Michael got his ham license in May of 1973 and became a society committee member. One of his accomplishments was to draw up the rules for the Worked EI Counties Award in the mid-1980s. Outside of his society responsibilities, Michael became well known as a high-scoring award chaser of DXCC, IOTA and Summits on the Air, and before the 1991 collapse of the USSR, he actively chased contacts with all the Russian oblasts. An enthusiastic activator himself, he would also travel with teams to Irish offshore islands. In the 1970s, he was a contest station operator for EI-1AA, which was widely known as the Irish Leprechaun Contest Group. Michael was 83. This is Jeremy Bucci for NJH.
It's time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the 9Z4RG repeater in Port of Spain, Trinidad and Tobago, and on Echolink Node 3384 on Saturdays at 1200 UTC. Ham radio clubs and others seeking grants from Amateur Radio Digital Communications will be able to turn to someone new on staff there to assist them in processing their paperwork. We have those details from Andy Morrison, K9AWM.
Adam Zimmel, W0ZML, has joined Amateur Radio Digital Communications as its Grants and Administrative Associate. The ARDC made the announcement on its website, saying that Adam will work to help them handle the grant process and also provide support for some of the other internal operations at the ARDC. He has been on board since late October. Adam has a strong background in cybersecurity and IT policy. ARDC awards grants to qualifying applicants whose projects fit into one of three main categories: research and development, education, and the support and development of amateur radio. This is Andy Morrison, K9AWM.
Contacts made by a very sensitive radio telescope in the Netherlands are showing scientists tremendous promise, as we hear from Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
Radio amateurs made successful contacts with three Mars orbiters during a recent test of a single-dish radio telescope in the Netherlands. In early November, the C.A. Muller Radio Astronomy Station, PI9CAM, conducted its first tests on X-band with an 8.4 GHz feed created by Dutch amateur Bert Moedeman, PE1RKI. This is the band researchers typically use for communications with satellites doing deep space exploration. The radio telescope at Dwingeloo successfully detected the carrier signal of the orbiters Tianwen-1 from China's space agency, as well as NASA's MAVEN and MRO. A post on the observatory's blog reported that signals were also copied from the European Space Agency's Hera spacecraft and the NASA probe Europa Clipper. The scientists were also able to decode data from signals received from Stereo A, NASA's space-based observatory. The telescope sensitivity played a key role here, as it did this past fall, when the Dwingeloo radio telescope functioned as an online Earth-Moon-Earth relay station during the scouting organization's Jamboree on the Air. The telescope successfully received the otherwise weak EME signals, which it fed to its web SDR for online listening. This is Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
In the world of DX, be listening for Ralph, DB4REB, operating as CN2REB while on holiday in Morocco from the 30th of November until the 30th of January. He'll be using CW, SSB, and FT8 on a variety of HF bands and plans to activate some POTA sites. See QRZ.com for QSL details. Listen for a team of eight operators using the call T46W. They'll be on the air from Cayo Santa Maria, IOTA number NA204, from the 1st to the 10th of December. Find them operating on a variety of modes from 160 through 6 meters, QSL via Logbook of the World. As the 43rd edition of the Italian Naval Old Rhythmers Club contest gets underway on the 7th and 8th of December, listen for the club's own station using the call IQ1NM. The operators will be using CW. The club is dedicating this year's contest to the memory of one of its members, Serafino De Filippi, IT9CKA. Be listening on 80, 40, 20, 15, and 10 meters. See QRZ.com for more details. And from the 28th of November through to the 3rd of December, listen for a team of operators active from Saipan, IOTA number OC086. The operators include KH0-JA8VE, KH0-JO1ABS, KH0-W1VX, KH0-WB6Z, KH0D, and NH0E. They'll be using CW, SSB, FT8, and FT4 on 160-6 meters. See QRZ.com for QSL details. When a DX begins with the word Santa, you can expect pileups and more than just a little excitement. Think of Santa Maria in the Azores or Santa Isabel in the Solomon Islands. This time of year, however, the real prize is a contact with another entity named Santa, and the chase begins on November 29th. Ralph Squillace, KK6ITB, is a true believer, and he shares the details with us in our final story for the week.
In the U.S., where the Thanksgiving holiday ushers in the most festive season of the year, hams in clubs around the world get into the spirit by sharing the magic of amateur radio with children, and maybe a few adults who still believe in Santa Claus. There are three Santa Nets starting this week in the U.S. The bearded character will be on the air from the north of Colorado, where he'll be making use of the repeaters used by the Longmont Amateur Radio Club, the Alford Memorial Radio Club, and the Northern Colorado Amateur Radio Club. Santa will be using the call sign N0P. Youngsters who aren't in Colorado, or even in the U.S., can still reach Santa through Echolink node W0ENO-R8305, W4BOC-R, or 330246. In Kansas, the Cowley County Amateur Radio Club will be hosting Santa on the Sunflower Net. Listen for the call sign KF0MRO on the air November 30th and again on December 14th and 21st. Meanwhile, Santa will also begin delivering the gift of a radio contact on 80 meters with the help of the 3916 nets. The QSOs start every night on that frequency at 7 p.m. Central Time from the 29th of November. They end on the 24th of December because, as we know, Santa has other business to tend to that night. As with all third-party contacts over the amateur bands, rules and regulations apply. Visit www.3916nets.com for HF contacts, and visit the QRZ.com page of N0P for details about contacts over the repeaters or Echolink. The Sunflower Net's details are at www.sunflowernet.us. Here's ho-ho hoping for a 5-9 all around. That would be a clause for celebration. This is Ralph Squillace, KK6ITB.
Expressing yourself on the air is one thing. How about expressing yourself in a haiku? Pick up a pencil and join the Amateur Radio Newsline Haiku Challenge. Share your experience by sending an original haiku to us here at Newsline. Use the entry form on our website, arnewsline.org, and please follow the rules for writing your three-line haiku. Sorry, but we cannot accept any entries that are not written in traditional haiku form, with the correct number of syllables for each of the three lines. Share with fellow listeners the poetry that is inspired by your ham radio experience. With thanks to Amateur Radio Daily, AMSAT News Service, ARDC, Camrus Netherlands, David Behar, K7DB, the FCC, 425 DX News, Peter Ball, EI7CC, QRZ Forums, Radio DARC, Shortwaveradio.de, The Soda Reflector, The Verge, Wireless Institute of Australia, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer, nonprofit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know that we appreciate you all. We also remind our listeners that if you like our newscast, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW in Picayune, Mississippi, saying 7-3. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2024. All rights are reserved.